Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Glad you're here with us. When I say us, I'm talking about Dr. Sherry Keffer and Chris Williams. Hi there.
Hey.
How's it going?
Well, it's going all right for me. I hope it's going okay for a lot of other folks. And if it isn't, we've got a phone number you can call, and that's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Would love, absolutely love, to help you. That's what we're here for, and we love it when people help us, and they help us help others. Anyway, we've got a matching gift, and you get a thank you, and your gift gets doubled. It's a great time to give. It's also a great time to just go ahead and go right to the phone. So we're going to do that, and we're going to talk with, how about we talk with Cheryl from Dallas, Texas, and she watches and listens on Facebook. Hi there. How are you?
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I'm doing well. Thank you very much. And by the way, I wanted to let you know that I celebrated my birthday on June 18th, too.
Oh,
nice.
Happy birthday.
And so did Paul McCartney.
You.
I think that's you.
I know. My husband tells me that's why he married me, was because he's a big Beatles fan, and Paul McCartney was born on the same day. So he likes to joke around about that.
Well, I love that, and my wife and I actually danced together to Paul McCartney live. How about that? That was pretty exciting. So make your husband jealous.
Oh, that's
that.
Awesome.
Yeah, he'll resent that.
Okay.
Anyway, I'm glad you called, and I want to know how we could help.
Well, I'm going to go back just a little bit into my past. I had a mother growing up who didn't understand boundaries. In fact, I didn't really understand boundaries until I read the book about boundaries when I was in my 40s and came to realize that there were no boundaries in my family's life. And she continued to dictate my life after I got married and well into my 40s. I tried to explain it to her. At one point, she didn't get it. She never got it. And so I know about unhealthy boundaries, and I'm learning about healthy boundaries. I have a son who is 42, and he was sexually molested when he was 11 in a friend's home by their son. And he is now 31 years later. Saw a documentary on Michael Jackson. It was a HBO documentary that Oprah Winfrey did with two of the boys that allegedly said that Michael Jackson molested them, and about the grooming that Michael Jackson did and all of that. Well, it brought back this huge issue for him. Came coming back. He in the beginning was very angry and wanted to do something to punish his own abuser. Talked about going to the police and reporting it. Talked about telling his mother about it. Talked about going to his house and confronting him in person. And as time went on, the anger went away, or he buried that. But it's coming up again. And it just keeps coming up and going down and coming up and going down. And I'm not sure where the healthy boundary is as to how to help him with this. I'm telling him to go to counseling. He's not going. He does talk to me about it occasionally, but I don't want to get into that unhealthy, cross that unhealthy boundary, and get too involved as his mother in what he does.
Right.
So I don't know. So my question is...
Hold on. We'll give you help right after this.
On Friday night, we got into an argument, and I sit in the car outside for 2 hours. I knew what the right thing to do was to go.
The New Life Intimacy and Marriage Workshop is coming to Washington, D.C. June 28th to the 30th.
You know, I know this stuff, but it's so hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hear it, I read it, and I'm always getting in my own way. I'm always expecting my wife to go first.
Join Steve Arterburn.
We believe that everybody has room to grow in the intimacy level of their life.
And Mylan and Kay Yurkovich.
We help couples understand how their attachment style is sabotaging their current relationship. And then we teach them how to create comfort in a relationship.
And New Life's group leaders will help you focus on the area that will benefit your marriage most. To register or to find out more, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or go to newlife.com.
My biggest takeaway was to just get out of my way and go first.
1-800-NEW-LIFE. To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back, and Cheryl's talking about her son. Now he's 42, and you know, really having some desire for revenge and punishment, and not good. Chris, what is the best for Cheryl? What do you think she ought to be doing?
Well, Cheryl, just one quick question, and this is not a blanket statement. There's exceptions to this, but a lot of times we deal with our painful childhood abuse with medicating it with drugs or alcohol, substances, some sort of addictive thing. Is your son struggling in any of those areas?
He did as a teenager.
Okay.
So shortly after this happened, he actually became addicted to drugs at 12 years old, and the abuse happened at 11. And he was a drug addict, got treatment. He has been sober for 20 years.
Okay.
But he does suffer from mental illness.
Okay. So how to help you? This is really important because you already addressed how to help. And that is setting boundaries mm-hmm. around his dangerous or destructive behavior.
Right.
So setting boundaries that you don't have to be the recipient of his anger or his attacks or whatever the case may be, including things that are driven by mental illness. And so the boundaries are one of the most essential things that you can do with him. Secondly, we're not responsible for what happens to us. But whether it's right or wrong, fair or not, we are definitely responsible for how we respond to it or what we do with what has happened to us. And so letting him know that, listen, I'm not going to sit here and just see you cycle through the pain over and over and over again without getting the help that you need. And I see this in addiction treatment all the time. Once we get rid of the substance or the addictive process, we now have to deal with the pain that drives it. And now he needs to deal with the pain that drives it and really get into some specific trauma recovery and a therapist who specializes in that area, and you're in Dallas, there are some great ones out there.
And I gotta say this, Cheryl. I absolutely love working with sexual abuse survivors.
Mm-hmm.
And let me tell you why. Is because they need to figure out a way to move from the victim place that they were in, that they didn't have a voice over, into more powerful ways of living. Mm-hmm. And so if I could give you a reframe, you had mentioned something earlier, and I want to give you a different lens. When you mentioned punishing the abuser, that's a certain way of looking at your son that has fear attached to it, that is almost making your son, it's vilifying him.
Yes. Yeah.
Instead of the abuser really hurt him. He's not punishing the abuser at all. What he's trying to do is get his anger out, get his hurt out, get his sadness out. So if I hope he listens to this show, because I would love him to get connected with someone like me that's a trauma therapist that can help him move through his anger productively. I say, if he needs to go and he wants to file with the police, do it. You know, I've got sexual abuse survivors that I work with that's a step they take in order to reclaim
their heart. To gain that control.
It's to gain control. It's to say this wasn't okay. They become an advocate of themselves. So I don't want you to be afraid of that. Mm-hmm. I want you to encourage him to actually meet with someone, and again, see if he'll at least listen to this, that could productively help him channel his anger in a way that he can find his dignity again. And he can put wrong and bad on something that was wrong and bad. Who knows? He might end up, if he reports it to the police, he might end up saving some other kids who might have been molested or could be molested.
Right. That's right. Okay. Cheryl, let me send you this book, Intimate Deception, and let me send you Healing is a Choice. And I hope that those two books for him could help. To me, someone who reaches points of being out of control, it is all about the proper medication and the connection with a powerful, competent Christian counselor. I mean, you just need that. You need all of that. And so any time that you can encourage him, medication, and to have a mentor or a therapist that's really strong and he can trust, nobody loses under that scenario. So really glad that you called. I hope something we've said is helpful here. All right, let's go to David, Toronto, Canada, Sirius XM. How you doing?
Not bad, and how are you all?
Great. How can we help today?
I have a problem with my grown-up children that I don't have any clue on how to fix. I've tried to talk to them, and I don't really get anywhere. My daughter got married. They were married for 7 years, and they had a child. I love my granddaughter to pieces. I love both of them, my daughter and my son-in-law. Mm-hmm. Now, they have separated and are going for divorce. Now, because my granddaughter is with either parent, depending, I want my granddaughter to always know that she can come to Papa's house anytime. It doesn't matter who she's with. But my daughter took great offense to that and has now dropped all communication with me, saying that I'm betraying her because I'm still keeping contact with her ex. And mm-hmm. I've tried to explain to her, it's not like we have a weekly time where we meet, go places, do things. We meet, you know, if he has my granddaughter and wants to come over maybe once a month, maybe even twice a month at the most. But it's my granddaughter that I care about the most here.
And you know
what? I tried to explain that to her.
But your daughter feels that, and that's hurting her.
It is.
Yeah, and let me explain it to you. So she is right now separated, and I don't know what happened, but for her to use the words betray, I want you to just have your elephant ears on. I want you to really hear that. I think what's going on in you is fear, and I would even say / panic, over the idea of losing contact with your granddaughter. But your daughter is your priority right now. She is going through probably one of the most difficult times she has ever been through. And so when you are more concerned about your granddaughter than her, you're missing her heart. You're not seeing her pain. The granddaughter will come with the package, but you need to be loyal and align yourself with her exclusively right now. And trusting that as they go through the separation and if they end up in a divorce, that's going to come out in the wash. You won't not be able to see your granddaughter, but she's asking for your alignment because she's just lost the alignment with her husband. She needs you to be her protector, her confidant. Walk with her. Does that make sense?
Yeah,
and I do all of that with her. Like I haven't walked away from her in any way, shape, or form.
But did you hear what I did? You hear? Did you hear what I said? Can you hear how?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, because I want your heart to be really open to this, because you'll miss her if you don't. If you don't even go back and say, "Honey, I am so sorry. I completely missed you. I don't know how. I think I was afraid. I think it was just own your fear. I think I was afraid of losing connection with your daughter and you, and I misstepped. And you are my priority. How can I support you?"
Nothing more powerful. I've been through this. Nothing more powerful than to say, "You know, I just really hope you can forgive me for not kind of getting how painful that was for you." And if you can just try to connect with this issue of, you know, you in the very beginning stages of a separation or something like this, the question is, are they for me or against me? And it's really hard. And you, and like Sherry's saying, you want to be for her. And so there just might be some things that have to be done temporarily that don't have to be done long term until she reaches a place where she's a little more developed into the healing process. But, oh, I know it's so hard. You want to be there. You want to be that great force of good and strength in the life of the grandkids who are being hurt here.
Yeah. Well, and but, if I can just jump in. And, David, you don't have to sacrifice your truth here, because you are able to see this situation a little bit more objectively without the lens of pain and betrayal. Yeah. And so you probably come to the conversation, quite honestly, more reasonable and more perspective with a bigger picture in mind. So you can go into it with deep empathy and connection and support of your daughter and still hold on to your truth. Now, she may resist that because she's still stuck in some resentment and fear herself. But as Cher was saying, if you lead with empathy, hold on to your truth, I believe it'll come out in the end, well, mm-hmm. for yeah. everyone.
Yeah. All right, let's go to, well, I'll tell you what, I'll send him Healing is a Choice. It really is all about that process that I went through, making some major choices to heal through this, and it'll help him understand his daughter, I think. Elizabeth, Fort Worth, Texas, listens on the podcast. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. What's going on with you today?
Well, I have a question about a relationship that I've been in for now 7 years.
Okay.
I'm going to try not to get emotional, but it could happen. Okay, so I was engaged to this person after 2 years of dating, and then I called off the wedding because my parents really didn't agree with his way he lived his life and the character in which he responded to different situations. And then also,
can you
after
give
I
me,
called off
can,
the engagement.
Okay. Two questions. How old are you?
I'm 29. I met him when I was 23.
Okay. And what specifically was the concern?
Well, with my parents, they didn't like the way he did business. They felt like there was deceit there. He worked for a roofing company, and some of the procedures and place that they followed in their business were very much in a gray area.
Like what?
Well, just like not having the people pay the deductible. He was able to cover the deductible in some other way, but still charge the insurance for the amount of money. But afterwards, I called off the wedding, and I found out that he did struggle with porn our whole relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And so I felt better about breaking off the engagement.
Mm-hmm.
But then he went to some recovery programs at our church, and never, like, fully was able to get rid of the porn, but he moved to, like, Instagram, looking at pictures on Instagram.
Uh-huh.
And I feel that he struggles with anger, too.
Uh-huh. They go hand in hand.
Responds, mm-hmm. Yeah, how he responds to me. But there's a lot of great qualities about him, and I think that he's working on it, but I don't feel like he totally has the character, but everybody is sinful too, so I'm just struggling.
Okay.
I really like go back and forth in my thinking on whether I should try to date him or not, and we've tried to date so many times, but I've hid it from my parents because they didn't agree with it. So I just don't know where to go.
Okay. So here's the bottom line. If you date him while he's on Instagram and looking at images that are inappropriate, and he's involved in a business practice that's unethical, sounds like it is unethical.
Yeah, then, he's no longer in that business okay. now.
Well, then you're, but you, okay, so you need to be sure he thinks it was unethical and agrees that you've got a yes. guy of character here. But on the issue of porn, this gets worse after a guy gets married, and I'm just wondering, why isn't he willing to do whatever it takes to stop that?
Well, he seems like he is willing to do whatever it takes, but he's gotten covenant eyes, and he's not looked at porn for about like 5 months now. But Instagram still is a struggle for him, and I've asked him why isn't he willing to delete it completely, and he says because there's other good things to it too. And I said I don't care.
Uh-huh.
You need to do that.
Okay, you're at a crossroads here. We want to help you. We will after this.
I feel blessed to have had this opportunity for my needs to be met, connecting with other women who are fighting the same fight, hoping for healthy marriages and growing closer to the Lord on their journey.
My name is Shelley Martinkus, and I want to personally invite you to the Restore Workshop. If you have been affected by betrayal, it might be that your husband has been looking at pornography, it might be an emotional, a physical affair. I would love for you to come join us.
I feel encouraged and hopeful that even in my struggle, I am enough.
You will leave with hope, with a community of sisters ready to support you, and you will also leave with tools to move you forward on this journey.
Through the sharing in our small group, I realized that I am not alone.
Please don't hesitate. Pick up the phone, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. I would love to see you there.
The Restore Workshop is coming to Dallas, Texas, July 19th to the 21st. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE to find out more. That's 1-800-639-5433 or online at newlife.com.
Last year, after every man's battle, I was so moved by the transformation that I saw, not only in myself, but in the guys in our small group and the other people that were there and the stories that I heard, that I decided to go ahead and join Club New Life as a contributor to that.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433.
You guys are doing God's work here. You're restoring marriages. You're giving people hope. It's just been such a blessing to me, and I just wanted to encourage you all. When you see something good that God's doing, just jump on that and help support that.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433.
Give your support to them if you can, and just help them do what God's doing here in the world.
Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. We're talking with Elizabeth from Fort Worth. And Elizabeth, Sherry, help Elizabeth here. We were talking about you at the break. We want the best for you here.
Hey, Elizabeth, you know what? You remind me of me. You remind me of me almost so much that my heart is just breaking for you right now. Because I sat at a crossroad with the man that I loved. His name was Connor. And he also had some character issues and was looking at porn. Didn't stop. But you know what I thought? I thought it would go away. I think I really believed, I said the same thing you did when you said, well, we're not perfect. I said the same thing. And so what I did yeah. is I minimized what was going on. And this is, Chris brought this point up during the break because we were talking about you. We care about you. And you know what? Sometimes parents give too much of their opinion. Yeah. And sometimes parents give too little opinion. And both of those situations leave us feeling kind of aimless to find our own way. Mm-hmm. And so part of how you've been trying to do that is by find your own way by acting, right, moving with him, but you've been hiding it from them because they have very strong opinions and there's something inside, yes, that wants to push back and own your own decision.
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't have enough parental guidance, and so I wanted, mm-hmm, to own my decision. But I'll tell you something, girl, and this just comes from my own experience. I decided to move forward with a guy that's like your guy. And my life turned upside down in a very, very painful way. In fact, I got 20 chapters that I wrote about it because the porn didn't stop. It just continued to grow. And your guy is not serious about stopping his acting out.
Even though he's made some progress.
Yeah, he's not there. Some progress is not sobriety. Some people get into recovery, and recovery is going and listening to classes or being in a group or whatever he did. But sobriety is, when is the last time you actually looked at something, mm-hmm, sexual? He doesn't have very many days because he's minimizing it. He's denying it. He's saying, well, there's other good things. That's an answer coming from somebody that's not serious about their celibacy and about their recovery.
Yeah.
And Elizabeth, so what's really going on here is you're idealizing him. You want him to be something that he's not. And so you're trying to make all these excuses for him to make him who he is not. But I'm telling you, that play, wanting him to be that is coming from that place of unworthiness inside of you. You're working with a sum zero worth, meaning this. You come to the table with an emptiness or an unworthiness inside of you, and you choose a one thinking that he's a 10. And so the real work here is increasing your felt and experienced sense of internal worth, that you have, yeah, value, you have worth. And that way, your parents stop making your decisions for you. Boys stop making your decisions for you. You start making decisions for you. And that's where you're going to find, yeah, freedom, as you increase your internal sense of worth.
I feel like I haven't ever been able to move forward with him because I've had those doubts about him that he wasn't responding to me in a absolute 100% willingness kind of way.
Yeah,
and yeah. Well, that's right.
And what I want to affirm, because your emotion, your sadness is going to be the loss. But the person you need to move forward with is not him. The person you need to move forward with is you.
Why are you afraid?
Yeah, and then I can't stay away either, though.
Okay, because you're trying to rescue him. You're trying to save him. And it's not your job.
You just have judgment from your parents. It's got some accuracy there. But you don't have support from other people to help you, people to spend time with and go to, so that you don't have to be with him.
And I don't think I can find better. I'd rather just, kind of work with... Yeah. That he is making some progress, but I'm always, yeah, frustrated.
That's what Chris said. That's that worthlessness. But you know what, girl? That doesn't get better, because every time he looks at porn, you're going to feel like you're not enough.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's the wrong plan.
I'm going to send you Sherry's book, Intimate Deception, and I'm going to send you...
Well, I actually read that one.
Okay.
I did read her book.
Okay.
Have you read Take Your Life Back?
I went to the conference, but I didn't get a chance to read the book, but I do have it.
Okay, so we really want you, this person who is so aware of so much, so desirous, but struggling, we want you to get into a support group, codependency group, anything that's got some women that can love you and help you and nurture you, so that there's a force of good that's fighting this situation when you want to call him up. If I was talking with him, I would say to him, look, either get the help you need or set her free. You're saying to her, you're kind of good enough for me. but not good enough for me to be clean and pure and free. That doesn't help.
Yeah.
All right? So we want you. Hold on. I mean, if ever, ever somebody that calls could get help by seeing a counselor that has insight into sexual addiction and then also into an unhealthy dependency, an attraction, a desire out of a weakness or a deficiency. That's where who we want to find from you. We'll be back after this.
For most of my life, I've been dealing with an opiate addiction.
Why is opioid addiction quickly becoming one of our nation's biggest killers? Maybe it's because it isn't only those who are addicted who are in denial.
We did what I see so many parents do, is it can't be an addiction. There's something medically wrong.
It's impossible to solve a problem when you don't know what you're up against, and families will try to find any explanation except the one that will put them on the right path.
Alcoholism and drug addiction is a family disease. It doesn't affect just the individual.
If someone you love is abusing painkillers, know what you're up against. It's time to admit it's addiction and seek treatment. Call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We have Christ-centered partner treatment centers around the country. Call 1-800-639-5433 or visit us online at newlife.com.
We just made a decision. We will do whatever it takes.
1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
I'm an addict, and I'm trying to get God in my life again. You seem to be able to get to the crux of a problem quickly.
Our Christ-centered treatment programs can help you break free to embrace all that God has for you and your family.
I just want to thank you guys for bringing me to a relationship with Jesus.
There really is help for marital problems, depression, addictions, panic attacks, and feelings of hopelessness.
I came back with so many tools to help me prepare myself to fight this struggle and this battle that I have every day.
You can start living again today, living the life God intended for you. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
They did care, and they did follow up very lovingly, and it made all the difference in my life.
Call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Someone who cares is waiting at the other end of the phone. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Just call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-639-5433.
Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. You know, sometimes people call, we really feel for them, and I think a lot of times we feel so much for them because we've been where they are, and we've seen so many people hurt in that way, and I just hope we've made a difference here. Oh, I want the best for her.
Sometimes I think when gals like Elizabeth haven't felt like they've been capable or like they really don't matter in somehow in their family of origin, saving that guy, saving that man becomes how they matter. They're trying to save themselves by saving him, and they can walk down a very painful path and end up in a worse place than better. So anyway, we're going to be feeling that one for a little bit.
We sure are. Let's talk with Larry Sonnenberg. He's in the studio right now. Larry, how you doing?
Hi, Steve. Doing good. Thanks.
Inspire folks out there to support a ministry that's only interested in transforming lives out of the world and into the kingdom.
Okay. Well, I'm going to start with a little bit of a testimony, then I'll make the big appeal.
Okay.
Man went to every man's battle, and he says, I came to every man's battle carrying in nearly 30 years of sexual integrity issues. I mean, I just can't imagine that. 30 years. And lies from the enemy. I'm walking out free to glorify God, free to serve others, and free to redeem the time ahead. There's a path to freedom and redemption. I'm not alone, and I can't do this by myself. The connections built here are life-changing.
Wow.
Does it get any better than that?
No.
And that's what every penny you give to New Life goes towards. When you're making a gift to New Life, you're giving so somebody who's been trapped and enslaved for 30 years can get out of it. You're for couples who have been struggling, you know, since the day they were married, from people who've been anxious and angry and just have their own issues and family issues and relational issues. That's what this ministry does. It helps people. It helps them. We direct them to godly things We see the Spirit do a work in them. They experience Romans 12:2. You know, where
it's like 72 hours of changing his mind. I mean, and you were talking, Larry. I thought, can you imagine this world without EMB?
Without radio programs.
Can you imagine without what we're doing and changing people's mind? I mean, just think about Elizabeth and her call.
Oh, my goodness.
Right here, she's right on the edge of walking down a path, but here we got a chance to try to reach in and change her mind about what she's doing. And this gentleman had that same big aha.
And if you are willing to support that, if you're willing to give towards that, you know, this is a recorded program. And I don't have the exact figures. I'm expecting we're going to be, I'm hoping we're going to be close to 40% through our matching gift here at the end of June. So we have a ways to go, and we could use your help. We've got a lot of money that is on the table, and when you make a gift that comes off the table into New Life's ability to use it and spend it to help people with everything that they that you hear from New Life.
Yeah.
And if you could make a whatever size gift you give, it will be doubled. It's just that simple.
Yeah.
Just so, God bless you for thinking of it. Thank you, everybody who has been giving. Thank you, Club New Life people, for your ongoing gifts. And if you would consider a regular monthly gift, call and ask about Club New Life. The benefits, the thank you gift, it's amazing. We need your help, and we're just appealing, giving you our need, and hoping you'll respond.
All right. Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Please call us. We need your help today. Mark, Traverse City, Michigan. How you doing? What's going on?
Great. How y'all doing?
Doing okay.
Well, I've been listening to your show for about 7 years, so I figure, Steve, I have some back payments to give you because I need to join the club.
Well, let's do it today.
Come on board.
Do it today. You get 8 books, 8 best books. So, yeah.
That'll be good. I'm gonna do that because I sit here every day for the last, I'd say, 7 years. I'm at lunch hour or my drive to and from work, and I feel the pain of so many others. I put myself in their shoes, and I also think, well, gee, come find me, because I'm not one of those guys. But my question is, it probably take 12 weeks to get through all my issues. But I've been dating a young lady. When I say young, she's 55, and I'm 60. So we're seasoned. We live apart, 82 miles, so we have time to be apart and reflect and grow. When we're together, we do attend church. We read devotionals. I think we both have a lot of love and respect for each other and God, but there's something more so in her that pulls away once a month. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to talk to Mary Chris, so the lady side of it. I don't know where that comes from, other than her past, because we haven't been in her present long enough to cause, I think, those feelings.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's very subtle. I don't even know that I've said something that triggers a pull away, and it's not vulgar. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I'm not a porn guy. I'm probably too over accommodating and giving, which is good and bad. Okay.
So what's the question for us, my friend?
Well, I'm trying to figure out what makes a young lady pull back the reins when everything is going good, everything feels good, we're in love, but yet there's some insecurity on my end, because when she pulls away, I get insecure because I don't want the relationship to have a hiccup. But I'm trying to figure out what am I doing on from a female perspective. What does a guy do that makes them, you know, feel like they're pulling back? If that even makes any sense.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's ask Dr. Sherry Keffer if she can give us some help here, some insight.
So I love your heart, Mark, because I think at some level you're wanting to be her kinsman redeemer. You're wanting to be someone that gives her a more redemptive experience of what it feels like to be with a man, right? That's what I'm hearing. I'm hearing you're a good guy with character.
Sure.
But you get triggered when she pulls away, and then you find yourself kind of reacting by pulling away and going to a safe place as well. If I could give you...
Well,
go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't pull away so much. I kind of push too much forward, maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe a little smothering, which is not a good thing either.
Okay, so, and sometimes pushing forward can look like trying to fix somebody instead of just becoming a rabbi. You know, Jesus was amazing. He asked a bazillion questions. And so if you could become more of a rabbi with her and just share, ask her, what's going on for you? What's coming up
for you?
Well,
and I have, yeah.
Are you, is there,
that, Jerry,
is there something you're afraid of? Is there something I might be doing that might be causing you to feel afraid? Do you know how many men fought for my heart, Mark? I had been so hurt and so jacked up in my experience. I even had one guy say, who was like you, good guy, trying to court my heart. He says, it's like you've got a python wrapped around you. And I used to, the closer I would get to men, I would literally feel the blood drain out of my body. I felt so scared because I didn't want to be hurt again. And so if you're noticing that, I would say there's some fear there that needs to come to the surface, but not need because you're pulling it out because you feel like you're doing something wrong. You're going to have to get over making a mistake. You're going to have to go tell yourself, this might get a little messy. It might be imperfect. And just own that with her. Say, I'm kind of clumsy. I'm imperfect at this, and I'm really trying to do my best to know your heart. But I see a pattern, and I want to be here to help and not hurt. What's your thoughts, Chris?
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, I was just going to say, this is very common, Mark, is what we call a pursuer-withdrawer dynamic, is that she feels safety by withdrawing and you by disconnecting, and you feel safety by pursuing or connecting. And this creates a very painful cycle. And as Sherry was saying, it is driven by fear. And what is not happening, whether that be it's you don't have the language or you don't have the opportunity or the willingness, is talking about the fears. Now, in the midst of this, Mark, I started to hear that you actually do try to talk about these things, and it just doesn't seem like a place that she's willing to go. And
she feels vindicated sometimes, possibly, or that being accused, and that's definitely not the tone I give, but I think as soon as I say that, she'll go, okay.
Well, I think the scary but important thing for you is you need to keep advocating for your needs in the relationship, and whether she can respond to that or not. You know, your need to work through these issues so that you guys don't get stuck.
And she might be feeling like when you press in, okay, like it's almost like an irritant, like there's some sand in her eye or something. And, you know, because she's kind of like, okay, you know, I hear you. But
yeah, I believe that's true.
Yeah, and that can happen when we feel like somebody's trying to fix us instead of somebody's just trying to listen to our heart and give space.
That's good.
For her to come forward.
Amen. All right, we'll be back right after this.
Said, we need to talk. She's asked me for the first time if I would consider myself a sex addict. You know, I thought it was just about admitting the things that I had done wrong. I never had a clue that it was about redeeming our story. You know, I thought it was just about coming clean on what I had done. I had no idea how to help her with her pain. She was a mess, I was a mess, and we got divorced. Going to EMB, surrounding myself with these other men, they accepted me for who I was and what I had done, but they challenged me to step up and do better. You know, they'll be around other men who are not just pointing the finger, but willing to get in and wade through it with them, you know, get in the trenches. They'll get hope from this workshop. Take my sweet wife and my story. We were divorced, remarried, and on our way to what I think will be the sweetest years of our lives. You know, it's no longer simply about surviving. For the first time ever, you know, we're thriving, we're enjoying where we're at.
Hey, listen, if you're struggling, we want to see you at the workshop. Give us a call, 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Hi, this is Steve Arterburn, and for 30 years, New Life has been the most trusted name in Christian counseling.
Your ministry has saved my life.
If you struggle with emotional hurt, family or marriage problems, the pit of depression, or the pain of addictions, we can help.
I'm down 100 pounds now from what I was.
You guys are awesome. You're a blessing to America.
Our treatment programs provide clinically appropriate solutions from licensed professionals, all in a biblical framework.
I have had problems with alcohol. I think God has ordained this place to be His.
You don't have to be a prisoner of your pain. Help is available at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
She tells me that I'm a new man and I feel like a new man.
It worked for me and it can work for them too.
This time it is different.
If you're ready to take the first step toward genuine spiritual and emotional healing, please call us today at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. God can open the door to a better tomorrow right now. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. New Life. That's 1-800-639-5433.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. And I'm going to help whether he starts giving Club New Life or not. But I'm going to help with how we love, and I'm going to send the workbook. And I really believe if you could work through this workbook and do it with her, there'll be some insight, links, development, maturity that will happen there. I really believe that to be true. Now, final caller today. Wish I could have gotten to everybody. They just lined up. Shannon, Fort Worth, Texas, KWRD. Hey, Shannon, how are you? How could we help today?
Hi. I have a question about being a Christian woman. I'm 52 years old. I'm single. I've never been married. I have a history of childhood sexual abuse and sexual assault in my 20s, but I've never been able to have a successful relationship with anybody. I got into therapy a couple years ago, which has been tremendously helpful, but I keep struggling with trying to embrace and value the sexual part of me, the sexuality part of me, instead of just hate it and want it to disappear. And I've gained a lot of weight, and almost as a way to not be vulnerable or attractive in any way. And I'm just struggling.
Man. Okay, Sherry, help us here.
Shannon, so you're reminding me of a gal I was working with at one point that we called it her zoot suit. This the weight that she had gained as far as being a self-protection. So she didn't have to be vulnerable again. She didn't have to open herself up to sexual harm, because not only did you experience sexual abuse, you also had a sexually violating experience as a young adult, correct?
Correct.
And so there can be some beliefs inside that get wired in that sound something like this: I can't trust men. I'm not safe. I can't even trust my own judgment. I'm powerless. I'm helpless. And so sometimes with sexual abuse survivors, have you ever heard of the book, The Sexual Healing Journey by Wendy Maltz?
No, okay. I haven't heard of that one.
I want you to get it. And I want you to start to, because she basically takes it into really fine tooth comb on how to help people begin to turn their sexual abuse experience into a healing experience. Mm-hmm. But I would have you start trying to identify your sensuality. This is something you can do at home. Mm-hmm. It feels a little different than sexuality. Sensuality is the kind of thing that comes up in women when, or I guess it could be in men. I'm not sure how y'all experience it. But I know for me, it's when I find a really pretty scarf and I love how it feels. Or when I'm walking by a fountain somewhere and I'll stick my finger in the water, or I'll drink a cool cup of iced tea, and I just love how that feels when it's going down.
It's helping wake up your senses.
Yeah,
yeah.
It's engaging your mind, your taste buds,
yeah.
Your heart. I mean, your senses, which is touch, feel,
sight,
sound.
Yeah.
And so a lot of times sexual abuse survivors, because of the trauma, shut it down.
Yeah, they cut off their senses to not feel the pain and the fear.
And so we shut our bodies down too.
So we got to wake that part back up.
Yeah, so it could be a pretty garment, a pretty something, you know, something underneath, you know, underwear or something that you feel really like your sensuality, feel lovely in.
And I think in addition to that as well, or a part of that, is that when we experience trauma in the body, we then turn on our bodies. We take that shame and we apply it to parts of our body, whether that be the sexual parts of our body or just any part.
Oh, you mean turn it on, like you get mad at it.
Yes.
You get mad at
your body. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at that. I'm mad at...
You're so right, Chris.
My body has betrayed me.
Like we pour contempt on our body instead of loving our body for what it's been through.
It's the crescendo of God's creation. And so what I also want you to do as you're waking up the senses is I want you to start a gratitude list for your body. Today, your eyes see, your mouth tastes, your ears hear. And so taking in the goodness of the world around you happens through your body. And just be like, man, I am so thankful I have ears to hear this incredible music or see this beautiful creation. And so you start a new relationship to your body, one of deep compassion and empathy and care and love rather than of contempt and hatred or betrayal.
And and here's the thing. You have to find people who understand how all-encompassing this is, who give you permission to go to work on this, experience some very difficult times working on it, and expecting that things aren't necessarily going to be better in 6 months. They might be starting to turn in 6 months. Maybe it's 6 weeks, but there's no quick fix. But I want you to have people that will give you grace and mercy, and you, in turn, give yourself that. Because you have been so hurt and continued to experience, you know, just the harshness of what this kind of abuse does to a person. And so we want you to get better. What else would you say, Sherry? Chris, anything?
I would continue to work with your therapist or maybe even patch in a trauma therapist that can do some works on these negative beliefs. I'm shameful. I would say 100% of the folks I've worked with who are sexual abuse survivors have that negative belief. It's a lie, but it's attached to them. I'm shameful. And so you want to turn that around to actually, I am honorable. I'm worthy. Somebody put their shame. Somebody did something to me that was shameful, but I'm not shameful.
Yeah. All right. I'm really glad that you called.
Thanks.
Let me send you Healing is a Choice. See if that could provide some help. I'll send you Intimate Deception. I know that's going to help you. You have our, you have our respect for not giving up. And I want you to find some people that will also honor the kind of work that you've done and that you're about to do. You know, God makes us male, female, and Satan hates that. And he does whatever he can to destroy us in whatever way. And in the area of sexuality, he does so very much. I think of folks who are really confused about their gender. And they fall into a trap of thinking, if I could just change from this to that, everything would be better. Well, nothing that we do changes everything and makes everything better. And so much disappointment can come after that. The statistics show us 85% of gender confusion self-corrects if we just leave the person alone. But society does not leave the person alone. we're not confused about what God says for us. We get in trouble. We can get out of it. There's transformation. There's healing. Doesn't mean that everybody's called to be in a happy little marriage with children running around the house. Not that at all. But there's fulfillment and there's life if we'll follow the path God has for us. If you need help with that, call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We care. We love you. We want to help you.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.